All right, cool.
Boy.
Hey, man.
What's going on, brother?
Not much. We're gonna make sure this never happens again.
When I first started using this service, I ran into this problem a lot. So what I actually did is I just installed the same apps on my iPad and use my iPad and go through Wi-Fi. So that way you don't get nearly as many interruptions or crashes.
All right.
That was what my solution was, but
I am on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be getting any further interruptions. For future notice, like especially when we have a guest on, I'm gonna make sure I'm on my iPad. I actually gotta fix a screen on my other iPad, so I'll just use my other iPad for media stuff. That sounds good.
Yeah, or, an iPod will work, or a phone, you know what I mean? Or even an old iPhone.
All right. Cool.
So you're getting into the, you said you went and you met with somebody at the CBD place and a manufacturer, but you said the market's a little crowded, and I believe that. I mean, they're selling CBD stuff at the gas station here. I mean, you see it everywhere.
Yeah, the big thing that's going on is like, it's like Avon. I don't know if you remember, like back in the day, those chicks that would come over to your parents' house and try to sell makeup and stuff. It's kind of like Avon, and I had to be careful, like, because obviously I'm putting money in to market these products. It's like that could range anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 for the marketing of it. That's the risk I take. I don't take on any inventory or anything like that, but. I mean, after a few months, if it's going well, I will take on inventory. It's just through another company of mine. It won't be directly me. But, I'm intrigued to see where this goes. And the other thing is he's a manufacturer of all of this. I want to see where his head's at when marijuana becomes recreational. Because he's got
right,
such
and that's
a big,
the big thing. And that's the big thing here is that, yeah, I mean, he got the CBD stuff all over the place. But you can derive the CBD from either hemp, which has no THC, or you can derive it from marijuana, which does have THC. And there's like no real comparison. The marijuana derived CBD oils have other compounds in them that make it dramatically more effective. So I think that really crowded market is actually going to be short lived as recreational marijuana spreads across the country.
Yeah, that's what I'm, you know what, honestly, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, just for, you know, longevity, like what you're just saying, you know, you want to be partnered with someone that's for the long run, the long road. And we've had to be careful with branding our products. We've had to be careful with a lot of things. They were in private label, but I recommended to them like 4 or 5 months ago. It's like, you guys need to start off on your own brand and then give me a call back. And that's the thing. We've had to be tricky with, you can't put, all right, just for, I'll just use one platform for an example, like Amazon, you can't use the word CBD and oil together. You'd have to use hemp extract.
Right.
You'd have to, you know, so there's a lot of tricky things, man. And there's a lot of these loopholes. But it's going to be interesting. I'll keep you up to date with it as this progresses. I had to do a lot of number crunching these past 2 weeks. He's got like 25 products. I respect the fact that this guy is manufacturing everything in his little factory. He's got, he does a really good job. He's got everyone with masks and it's very clean. And he's a very down to earth guy. And I hope our ideas meet somewhere in the future, you know, with marijuana being recreational and what these compounds and THC and marijuana can do to help people. I mean, that's pretty much why I want to get on it. The video I saw a couple years ago, and I'm sure you've seen them too, is when these people, you know, they've got these epileptic seizures and their child is getting like 20 or 30 violent seizures a day, and you see it, and they're on all these pills, and then they rub the CBD oil on their feet, or they put some drops in their tongue and they're up smiling, eating, laughing, playing. I'm like, that's powerful. That's what I want to, you know, it's what I want to contribute to.
Yeah, absolutely. Make the world a better place. So,
oh, yeah, dude.
Out of curiosity, because, you know, if you're doing due diligence for one business, we talk about pushing the numbers and looking at different things. That's called due diligence. I mean, what are some of the things that you look at when you're doing, when you're performing your due diligence on opportunity, like you did with this CBD company?
Yeah, so I break it down by product. I'll give you an example. Like, they've got this stuff that's a tincture. It's basically just like an eyedropper.
Right.
That you put under your tongue. I look to, just for an example on that, like, you see, like, what the price range would go from, and it's anywhere from $19 to $199. So that's something that's extremely flexible. And it's, dude, I'm glad you asked about the CBD, just because there's a wide array of products. They've got the Jolly Ranchers, the gummies, the tincture. They've got some face aging cream. They've got sleeping stuff, stuff for you to be awake. And you just basically, what you do with those products, like I said, you break them down and you look at who else is selling this. How much are they selling? What are the reviews? You know, you want to look at like the reputation of the product, because there might be something that your product does that is a lot better than what other companies are doing. So you look at product leverage. Price really doesn't matter all that much, to be honest with you, man, because if it's that flexible and you want to get it out, like if your business is in an incubation stage where, you know, the eggs just haven't cracked yet and the birds aren't out, you want to get that stuff out there, sort of say. So I would say definitely, like, looking at the brand, looking at what's already out there, and, you know, the reputation of what's already out there. You want to leverage something that's good, or you want to bring that back to the manufacturer and say, hey, this is what people are saying about the products already that aren't ours. Do you have a solution to this? You know, and it could be something very simple, or it could be something that will contribute to the first, you know, to CBD that'll kill off CBD. You know, as soon as recreational marijuana hits, I don't, you know, there might be something that CBD is doing that is a, you know, contributes to a large portion of why it isn't as popular as it should be. But yeah, man, I mean, that's basically it. You got to see what's out there, and you've got to see what the problems are and if you have any solutions to the problems.
There you go. What you just kind of came up with on your own is what is commonly referred to as a SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
So SWOT analysis is strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. So you want to know, what are the strengths of your product, what are the weaknesses of your product, what opportunities are there in the marketplace, and what threats are there to your business line. So if you look at CBD, like you said, the first thing you mentioned were the strengths, where we got these unbelievable results that people are getting, where they had no other alternative. It's not, you know, the medications for these children that have epileptic seizures or bronchospasms or any of these other things, that's your strength, and that you're offering relief to people that do not have any other means of relief. Your weakness is obviously that the market is saturated. People are selling this stuff everywhere. It's illegal in some states. It's hard to manufacture. The opportunities are, well, you know, it's getting legal in some areas, and you can market it in some ways. But then you have threats, which you just talked about, where recreational marijuana, which I think is eventually going to wind up taking it over.
It is also inevitable.
Because I'm in a state that has recreational marijuana, that, I mean, yeah, there's some CBD stuff that's out there, but anywhere that you go, they make it pretty clear, you know, it's pretty obvious, and it's not like any great big secret that even if it has no measurable or observable THC in the product, meaning there's no psychoactive effect of the substance, it still is much more effective for pain relief, and it's just much more bioactive because there's cannabinoid receptors in the body,
man. That's the crazy part. It's like, hey, yeah, we have this in our body. Hey, hello.
Right, there's a reason why they're there, right?
So
that just reacts better, and it just has a greater effect on the body. So in our, you know, we're already starting to see, you know, it's not, because it used to be real expensive, some of the CBD stuff, and it's just getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because they're having to compete with the recreational marijuana shops that have the marijuana-derived products.
Yeah, no point in spending $199 on tincture if you can go with a card to a you know, a cannabis shop and get something for $20 to $25 with the real thing in it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I think something like 20 states you need to have a card, but and I think it's 7 or 8 states you don't even need a card anymore. You just have to be 21 years old.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The prediction is that the governor of Chicago, J.B. Pritzker, has been a huge advocate for legalizing marijuana, and they're predicting in, you know, January of 2020, that's when it's going to happen. And if it happens, it happens. I mean, you got to look at how, you know, just demographically, Illinois is broke, man. And look what the legalization of marijuana did to the infrastructure of Colorado, for Christ's sake.
Right.
It boomed, dude, the economy, it just blew up. So much, in fact, that people from Illinois left Illinois to go to Colorado. You know, job opportunities, just better living salaries, everything. So
yeah, did I tell you I went to there's a farm here in town. I went to their Christmas party this year.
No shit. What was it like?
Well, I was kind of curious because a friend of mine works at the farm, and he didn't really want to go to the Christmas party. I was like, dude, let's go. I want to check this out. This will be fun. Yeah, so check cool. it out. And I just couldn't believe how many people worked there. Like, they had a huge ballroom that was just slam packed full of people. It was nuts. I mean, and that's only one farm, and there's dozens of farms and hundreds of stores. So that's quite a large employer in the state, generating a lot of money.
Yeah, man. No, they've got a lot of growers. They've got a lot. Dude, there's just so much. Yeah, I can attest to that too. I work with the manufacturer out here, just in CBD. I think it'll just from an agricultural aspect to all the way into like an industrial aspect. There's a lot of shit.
Opportunity.
It's opportunity, and it's like trying to think of the other word. There is a lot of opportunity, and there's a lot of like potential. There's a lot of potential for, you know, where this is going in a good state, you know. I'm just excited. I'm just excited to be on that wagon and see where it goes, you know. If it's there to help people, and it's there, you know, and people are waking up and saying, hey, you know, you don't get DUIs for smoking weed. I mean, like, you're not going to be an impaired driver compared to someone that's drinking. Like, we're kind of flipping the script a little bit. People are starting to see that just because, you know, alcohol and cigarettes aren't illegal doesn't mean they're not safe, you know?
Right.
And they're trying, you know, it's broadening and opening up a little bit more where, you know, you take the lesser of the two evils, I guess you could say. I'd rather have a state that smokes marijuana than a drinking state any day.
Oh yeah, I know.
People are way nicer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've shown where it dramatically decreases the number of people that are arrested for nonviolent crimes. Domestic disputes go down. Obviously, drunk driving goes down. There's a number of benefits, and then you're also, like you said, you're collecting money rather than spending money, because it costs money. It takes resources to put people in jail and to keep them there, but it doesn't, you know. And so instead of spending money on those aspects of the war on drugs, you're collecting money and putting it back into the state. So even if you're just if you collected $1 million, but you avoided the expense of $5 million, it's quite a significant swing. Operation of the state. So it's been a success here. It's been a success in Colorado, and it seems like it's been a success everywhere. The will of the people seems to be something that's spreading across the United States. So yeah, I'm excited, for America and for what it means for our country. I think it's excellent.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to see where the next 6 months where they go with all of it. I just want to see where this goes.
Yeah, there's no telling. I mean, in Colorado, it led to psychedelic mushrooms becoming decriminalized.
Yeah, I saw that. That is crazy. Not like crazy bad. I think that's fucking awesome. What was their backing on that? Was it because I know like some research came out that psilocybin is used to help treat depression and a couple other things? Am I somewhere in that ballpark.
Wasn't there, you're right. Yeah, they're talking about the, you know, medicinal, just like marijuana, the medicinal effects and PTSD, depression.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, there's a number of benefits to the magic mushroom.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes, too. That'll be something pretty interesting. You know, a lot of people, I mean, my first thought was, like, you know, just a whole state. I mean, you got to come down from the clouds for a minute, but just seeing, like, if you could just imagine a whole state on mushrooms, even though it's not going to happen, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, that would be pretty hilarious. Tripping out. And it wasn't the whole state. It was just the city of Denver. It wasn't the whole state of Colorado.
No, that's cool. Yeah. And Colorado is where it's at right now. All of my friends that that lived in my hometown are all in Colorado now.
Oh, really? What part?
I'm guessing the Denver area, just because they used to work out in the city of Chicago. I'm guessing out in the Denver area.
Yeah, that's pretty much the biggest city.
Yeah.
There's a few cities north of Chicago. It.
Yeah, I haven't really looked into it. I just, you know, all I hear back from them is how, you know, they love being outside. Everybody's so friendly. And we used to go to Colorado 2 to 3 times a year for rugby. And that was the one thing we saw. Everybody was outside. Everybody was so friendly, you know. In Chicago, you don't even, and I'm sure this is like the same in New York and everything. You don't, when you're out in public, you don't say anything to a stranger. But out in, you know, Colorado, everyone's so nice. You know, you can ask a random question like, hey, what time it is? You're not going to get a go F yourself or, you know. So, yeah, that's the cool thing about the culture out there. It's nice. It's really nice. Well, even by you, too. I'm assuming, you know, you guys have been leading the way for a couple of years now, California and Washington.
Well, yeah, I was just reading. Actually, there was a study done recently that most people – because it's not really that – it's not nearly as friendly as Denver in my experience. California is probably more friendlier than Washington. But, yeah, they were talking about how most people in the Pacific Northwest just want to be left alone.
Yeah. The woodland people.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to take a trip up to Astoria, Oregon, I think in the fall.
Why?
Just because it was like it was like the hometown of one of my favorite childhood movies, the Goonies.
The Goonies? That's Cannon Beach.
It's Astoria, dude. I swear to God.
Right. Well, I mean the houses were in Astoria, but the famous beach is also in Oregon, and it's called Cannon Beach, and it's south of Astoria.
Neighbors to it?
Not really neighbors. It's quite a ways away, but. The Oregon coast is amazing. There's really nothing like it. But yeah, no, the Cannon Beach is a really small town, and it's the Goonies Beach. And everybody, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that go there all the time to see the Goonies Beach.
Yeah, like I guess every year those guys get together for a Goonies reunion too.
Oh, really?
Out in Astoria. Yeah, I loved the town when they were in their bikes, when they were getting ready to go to the restaurant before they even really started the journey, when they flattened Brandon's tires.
Yeah,
they went through the town, and like, you know, you see his dad at the museum and all the buildings. I'm like, dude, this is beautiful. I like towns like that.
It is. It's a really neat town. It's an old town. I like it. I went there, checked it out. I was impressed. But
you know, anything bad about it?
Town. A fishing and logging town.
That's cool.
Yeah, the Oregon coast is really amazing. I mean, if you do make it out here, definitely go up and down the coast as much as you can. There's really nothing quite like it. You know, the California coast is totally different. Maybe up in north, like in Maine, it might be kind of similar, but it's very unique, the Oregon coast.
Have you, and this is such a random question following up with the West Coast, because every time, you know, I always love talking about the West Coast, but the one question that pops up is, do you know what the beaches and the water are like ever since the incident with Fukushima?
Well, there has been a few things that popped up. Like, there was a huge dock that came that washed up on the Oregon coast. there's been a few other things that have popped up that were clearly from Fukushima, from the tidal wave. But, and then some garbage, some human feet floated across the ocean because they're in their shoes. And they get eaten up by animals, but then the shoes float. So they kept finding these feet on the beach, and they were like, what the hell is this? And it took them a while to figure out that it was, you know, it was victims of the tidal wave that were washed out to
sea. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, because I keep hearing, like, that company, TEPCO, didn't do anything as far as cooling off the reactors. And so they're continuously using water to cool those rods, and all that water is getting leaked into the Atlantic or the Pacific.
That's true, it is.
So I was just curious on that because, I mean, shit. It's like something around 1 million gallons a day that they use that keeps draining out into the oceans.
That's yeah. I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, they're continually radiating the Pacific Ocean. But from what I understand, it's a relatively small area that is affected by the high doses of radiation. So there's been nothing that's coming this way because they've tested it all. They test fish all the time. They're testing fish constantly. You know, the Pacific coast is where a lot of salmon comes from.
Yeah.
It's real serious business. They're always testing salmon and they're testing the shrimp and the crab. And, you know, people have dedicated their lives to the gooey ducks and all these other different sea creatures. And there hasn't been any ill effects to, as far as I know, to this point, to the food supply that comes out of the Pacific Ocean. But you're depending upon other people to do the testing and then tell you what the results are. So you're only going to know what they want you to know.
No, you're absolutely right. It's just a beautiful area. California, Oregon, and Washington, all that is beautiful. It needs to be preserved for sure. If I get the opportunity to, you know, when I get the opportunity to purchase a house, I'm definitely going to look in that general direction. It's just a much more peaceful living area.
Yeah, I mean, you got some other considerations there. It's very beautiful, but that's, and everything is alive and green because it rains all the time.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so yeah, you have like the rain shadow. You have one side of the range. You have one side of the mountains that's constantly getting rain. And then you have the other side of the mountains where there's a desert, and then it kind of balances out. So, I mean, it's different climates. There's a lot of climates over here, but there is a lot of diversity. But you can kind of pick and choose, you know. You can find the area that's right for you, and then that's where you go.
Yeah, my friend was telling me, he was from Chicago. He lived in Denver, Las Vegas, back to Denver, and now he works with Charles Schwab. So he has to move for work. He just moved, you know, to their headquarters in Washington. And that's the one thing he was telling me. He's like, if you can get past all the rain, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah. The rain is hard to deal with. Like I was on the coast and I had to get out of there because the rain just, after a while, it's just like, I can't take this anymore. It's like Chinese water torture, you know?
Yeah, no, that can be pretty depressing too.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you had a choice of where you'd want to live in the United States, where do you think you'd want to live?
Well, I mean, San Diego is really amazing. Of all the places I've been to, I mean, I really enjoy San Diego. I enjoy some of the areas around there. I also, you know, as far as climate goes, it seems to be an amazing, beautiful climate. But it's extraordinarily expensive to live there.
Yeah.
Carmel by the Sea, that's a really neat town. Some of the California coast, the Bay Area, they're just extremely expensive areas. But, you know, they would definitely be very close to the coast. It would be the West Coast. It would probably end south of the rain shadow. So, you know, you're talking in between the Bay Area, which I guess would be considered Northern California, and Southern California. Wherever I could find a spot that kind of suited my needs, but very close to the coast.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of places that I've traveled to that I love, like the Tennessee mountains. I like Georgia a little bit, but not like the city of Atlanta. But out west, it was either like, you know, Wyoming, Idaho,
in the middle of nowhere, or it'd be along the coast, like somewhere in Washington or Oregon. It's just, it's a toss up now. All I want to do though, is, you know, I'm going to take advantage of these mini vacations that we're going on, and we're going to, you know, we'll make a choice, you know, here in a little bit, where, whether we're going to move there or out of state somewhere, you know. That's a, you know, it's an exciting time when you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't get those opportunities very often, so you should definitely do all you can to.
Yeah, you gotta YOLO that shit. Whenever you got an opportunity to travel, you've got to go.
The media paints. Yeah, like I've done I've done 5 coast to coast trips, like road trips.
That sounds like fun. Did you bring Porter with you?
Porter's been on he's been on 3 of them.
Oh man, lucky dog.
Yeah, he's seen more of the country than most people.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, buddy. Well, got some interesting things going on in the news. I don't know if you've been paying much attention to the news.
No, but that's actually what I was going to ask you. Is there anything going on right now? I was going to ask about China, the trade war, the Iran stuff. You know, and even I was even going to go asking about or going to ask about, like, what the hell's going on in LA with Skid Row? Shit like that. Maybe if any of them are involved, let me know.
What do you mean with Skid Row?
Well, there's all the homeless people and all the shit going on over there. You know, and the caravan.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as how true this caravan thing is, I mean, people have been coming into the country for a long, long time.
Long time.
It's been an American tradition, you know, the Statue of Liberty. Give us your weak, give us your sick, you know, give us, you know.
Tired and poor. Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting now that they're being villainized. Could they, that's happened before in American history, you know, with, like they got on the Irish and they got on all the immigrants. But that's usually in times when there are not any jobs and there's high unemployment. But we have relatively low unemployment. There's more jobs available than there are people looking for work. So I don't really understand why people are all up in arms about people coming into this country. It just doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
Dude, you put a word like terrorist or gangbanger or rapist and murderer in front of that, that's just one way the media can just say, hey, to get someone on board. Honestly, it sucks. When you get people like that are from poor countries, you usually get the smart people that decide to get up and leave. There's a lot of opportunities when you can get, you know, a diverse group of people in one location, like, you know, just like the United States. We have people from everywhere.
Right. You know,
we would be on the leading edge of so many things, you know, and that'd be one tradition I would, you know, be sad to see go away.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. It seems that to me, in my opinion, it seems like it's been a manufactured problem. That way it can be solved going into the election. Like, it's just one way to create a positive image. Like, here's this problem, even though there isn't one, but then it goes, then all of a sudden there's no problem because there never was a problem. It's like, look how great of a job I did solving that problem.
Yeah.
There was no problem to begin with.
What were you gonna tell me was going on in the news? Because I am actually really curious.
Oh, there's just all different kinds of things going on in the news. You have the satellites. Have you seen the Tesla satellites that went up, or the SpaceX satellites?
Yeah, I did hear about them.
What's that?
I heard about them going up. Yeah.
Yeah. So astronomers are all pissed off because they can see them. And they're like, you're going to obstruct, you know, you're obstructing our view of the cosmos with these satellites. And they showed pictures of them, and it's like, holy shit, that's a lot of damn satellites. So, I mean, Elon Musk, I really hope he's a good guy because, you know, because that's only a fraction of the satellites that they are going to launch. I mean, he's going to have this huge satellite network that encompasses the entire Earth. So, I mean, if he is a supervillain, it's like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, no, that's been the thing. That's been the thing with Elon, dude. People can't read that guy.
He is hard to read, yeah.
You give someone all that, you know, power, shit.
But he didn't really, it's not like it was given to him. He's earned it and he's bought it. You know what I mean? Like, if he didn't have billions of dollars, he wouldn't be anybody. And if he didn't, but didn't constantly keep doing what he said he was going to do, then nobody would believe him. But he just keeps doing what he says he's going to do over and over and over again. So you have to take what he says seriously. You're a fool if you don't.
Yeah, I did some reading on that guy and talked about when he was younger. He made a couple video games, a couple computer games, and he just started really getting into stuff. And this is before PayPal or any of that. How he would just be up, 3 to 4 days knocking that shit out until it was done. And then with PayPal, how he was just, he's got a mean, freakish work ethic. And that's something, obviously, that's something to be, proud of. That's something to encompass and try to mimic.
Yeah, dedication. Yeah.
What, has there been any news going on with the trade war? The last thing I saw was that China was threatening to do they're threatening to put a halt on metals, precious metals or something like that. That's the last thing I heard.
Rare earth metals. Yeah. I haven't been paying much attention to that. I, like I said before, it's, in my opinion, it's not a very smart in the way for us to be putting tariffs on China. One, we import way more than we export. And because we bring in more than we export doesn't mean that it's costing the U.S. money. And those are the numbers that Trump keeps throwing out, the trade deficit. That's only the difference between what we export to you and what you import to us. That's not an actual expenditure. And there's a big benefit to us importing those things from China. And by putting tariffs on it, you're negating that benefit. The benefit is it's cheaper. So when you go to these stores, one thing that I just have it fresh in my mind was wire brushes, because I had to buy some wire brushes to clean the grill.
Oh, yeah. And
last year, I bought the same set of 4 wire brushes, and it was $2 at the store. Straight out of China, nice set of 4 wire brushes for $2. That same set of wire brushes, they're identical. Nothing is different about them. They very well could be the exact same wire brushes that were sitting in the back room for the entire year. They're now selling for $6. So it's going to cost me 3 times as much to buy the same product, to do the same job. So how have we done anything to China? There's not been any negative. That's not a negative consequence to China. It's a negative consequence to the American consumer.
Yeah.
But economically, a lot of people know that. But unfortunately, we're in the age of the ill-informed consumer, the ill-informed voter. They don't have enough time or energy, and they don't really realize what these things mean. They just hear short little sound bites, and they're like, oh, yeah, fuck China.
They check our jobs.
Yeah, so they don't really quite get it or understand it, and they just embrace whatever it is that their hero has to say.
So yeah.
It's not the greatest thing in the world, but, it's just like all things, this too shall pass, because China is going to need to sell their stuff. So eventually they will, I would imagine that, they're going to want to try to find a deal. And again, just like the immigration thing, there was no problem with China. I mean, yeah, there was some currency manipulation. Yeah, there was some trade deficit. But these weren't anything significant. So you create a problem. You create a trade war. So now if he does manage to get a trade deal with China, he will have solved this problem. He will have ended the trade war. So again, he created a problem which can be solved. So that way he's going out of his way to make himself look good. Which, that's what all presidents do. He's not doing anything that any other president would do. That's, it's just...
So true.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what presidents do. That's how they get reelected.
And he really got the baby boomer generation, on his back, man. I swear, the last few presidents, Clinton, Bush, Obama, I've never seen, my dad... My dad's got so many books of Trump now and politics and everything. I can't even go over there or talk to him on the phone unless without Trump being oh, they're doing this to Trump again and that again. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, he's really got a following. He has got a cult following.
Oh, yeah.
What else is in the news, man? What else is going on?
Well, I was reading today that they solved the chicken egg hypothesis.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Well, it's pretty simple. The genetic code for the egg comes from a hen, so therefore the chicken had to come before the egg because there's no way to create the protein without the chicken. So the chicken came first.
Witty.
I hope that it'll be on the first front page of the news tomorrow.
I don't know about that. Neil deGrasse Tyson did talk about it, though.
Oh, man. A lot of people don't like that guy. They think he's some, like, what do you think of Neil?
I love Neil deGrasse Tyson. Why would somebody not like Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Dude, you know, it's an interesting, you know, thought that they just think that he's, you know, he's paid to say what people want him to say. Him and Michio Kaku, they get that bad rep sometimes where, you know, they'll talk about something deep and then, you get stimulated by their talks, but then they start talking about other things that can, you know, obviously if they were to, you know, say it, they could, sway like, persuasions. And that's just that's the other side of the coin I get from those guys. I love listening to them about, you know, string theory, the universe, all of it. But when they get into politics, it's when I'm just like, you guys don't need to be here.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't need to be political. But yeah, he takes really complicated ideas and explains them in very simple ways. And I think that that's a tremendous talent. And I think it's beneficial to society that there's people like him that have the ability to do that. But yeah, he's a, you know, astrophysicist. He is not a politician or a political analyst or anything of the sort.
No.
But it's not always easy to stay in your lane.
No, no. Well, especially when you have a following like they do.
Yeah.
They get that, like, it's like the Jesus complex. You know, they may be giving off physicist like work, but other people that follow them, like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think we should do here? Even though it's not their, you know. It's not their, you know, Kool-Aid. They're still, yeah, exactly. That's interesting, though. I'm gonna get on the news tomorrow morning. I've just been so busy. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I try to check the news every day. I mean, did you hear? You know, David Ortiz got shot.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a picture of the person who beat him. The person who did it got beat up pretty bad, I guess.
Yeah. I was just in that today. They found out that the guy that shot David Ortiz was paid $7,800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Would you shoot somebody for $7,800?
Hell no.
Yeah.
That's no way.
A lot easier to say than if you're in the Dominican Republic and that's like 10 years worth of salary. Or
yeah. Crazy amount of money. I mean, I might blow somebody for $7,800, but I'm just kidding. Yeah, the Dominican Republic is pretty crazy, man. That place is crazy.
Yeah, all those armed cars dropping dead over there.
That sucks. Did they figure out why, or was it just a hit?
No, like their illnesses. Well, on David Ortiz, it was a hit, but for the tourists that are getting sick and dying, they don't really know what it is. They think it has something to do. They don't know. It's illness. It's poor health care. It's something to do with. It's all at the same resort, though. To me, it sounds like there's somebody at the resort that's, you know, poisoning people.
That is interesting. Yeah, you got to be careful when you travel, man. I had to get. When I went to South Africa and a couple other places, like before I go, I've got, you know, they've got to look at what vaccinations those people have and what's high over there. That's a crazy science of when you mix cultures that are in different areas. I just took Brayson to a dairy farm and we couldn't get out and touch the cows for that reason because you'd get them sick.
Sure.
So, you know, that stuff is pretty fucking interesting. But you do... You know, aside from the jet lag, man, you can get pretty damn sick.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else going on with, like, Iran? Anything going on with that shit?
With Iran? I don't know. Let's stick Iran in the old Google machine here and see what
happens.
Yeah,
man. No, I know that Trump sold them some weapons. Yeah, no, they were accused of blowing up a ship.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then, but Trump did just, he circumvented Congress and sold some arms to Iran.
What did he sell them? Like AKs or?
I don't know. Let's see here.
Yeah, find out what they bought.
Oh, I'm sorry. He approved $8 billion in sales to Saudi Arabia over tensions with Iran.
Yeah, dude, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that's daddy. I really think Saudi Arabia is like daddy. That's the oil money right there.
That, yeah.
Look at Saudi Arabia.
Well, some of those families, like you talk about the richest people in America, some of those families in Saudi Arabia have like 10 times as much money as some of the richest people in America.
Yeah, no, it's so hard. You know, and you look, what's crazy is they go back to almost biblical times where they talk about like King Solomon, and then it branches off from like, you know, the brothers, the sisters, the cousins, all the way up till now. Some of those are like descendants of people in the Bible, and that shit is royalty. That's some of the royal families all across the Middle East.
Yeah, and these disputes that they're fighting are the same disputes that they've been fighting. They're 5,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I wouldn't even know how to go into a situation like that if I was the United States. I guess I would sell the richest people some guns, though.
Well, especially if they're going to hook you up with some oil.
Yeah, and that's something we need. Because of what we're doing, we're putting in that pipeline. We're screwing over Russia with the pipeline to Syria. To go to Europe. I know that's something that was coming up a few months ago. That's I don't know if it's escalated yet. They're gonna put a pipeline in Syria. Huh? Yeah, look up pipeline to Syria, because it's supposed to go from Syria all the way to Europe, and that's something that if done, would fuck over Russia big time.
The Iran-Iraq-Syria pipeline.
Yeah, buddy.
I really don't think there's that much oil in Syria.
I don't know where it would, you know, I don't know, actually. Look that up, because they're saying that there's some pretty big areas in there that, you know, if tapped would be worth, you know, trillions, they're trying to say. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's Syria.
Yeah, no, they have about 250 or 2.5 billion barrels of oil. So they've got quite a lot of oil in Syria.
Yeah. Damn, that is a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, they got to get it out of there somehow. So they need a pipeline. But yeah, right now they're getting it from Russia. So that's going to be a big hit to Russia.
Yeah. And yeah, that's one person I would not want to piss off is Vladimir Putin. Something just, you know, quiet. The guy's quiet, and he looks like he's like a. Well, I mean, he's been around for such a long time. I would definitely want to be on that guy's good side.
Yeah, but as weak as I kind of see as Russia as being somewhat weak, but China is the people that I wouldn't want to fuck with. I mean, their majority of the world is in China.
You know what yeah. I mean? Yeah, if you had to pick between the two, definitely pick China for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man, that's what it was like for the last 10 years. I remember when I was in college just talking about the growth of China and how we had spent, both of our countries had spent like $20 trillion at the same time almost. And ours, I don't know where the hell ours went to. I know it went to military and a couple others in debt. And theirs went to complete infrastructure. Like, they've got cities over there in China. Like, they're predicting what they are now, basically, that China is going to be one of the biggest hubs in the world. It's going to be, you know, like Rome, basically.
Think, act, be. Think yeah, you're going to be true. The biggest. Act like you're the biggest, and you'll be the biggest.
That's true. What do you want?
All right, Pony Boy. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, man. I'm glad we could do this again tonight. Let's we'll shoot for it again. Work's been busy as shit, so I got screwed over with this LED guy. So I'll fill you in on that. Basically, like, he's not fulfilling orders, and I don't know. Basically, don't know if he even is a manufacturer, just because that we've sent him a lot of orders and he hasn't fulfilled any of them. But he, you know, he left me, basically he put me in a position to where I had to take his products. He has like 17,000 40 watt bulbs that I've invested my money into, and you know, I've given him suppliers, I've done meetings with some big time places, and it just looks like, long story short, you know, he doesn't have the inventory or any infrastructure up. And he tried to, seems like, you know, according to me and my partners, he's trying to get a bunch of free work out of us. And, well, I've got to correct. So
can't make money working for free.
No, man. And it sucks because there's a lot of snakes out there, dude. And you just got to go with your gut feeling, you know, it sucks. We'll talk more about it. Maybe we can, I'll try to reach out to Walt. I know he had a few things going on, like his parents are in their 90s. They're not doing so well. But he wanted to get back on. He emailed me a couple days ago wanting to know if he can get back on. And I was like, sure, man. So we'll get it. I'll download everything on my iPad, and we'll go from there.
All right. Sounds like a great idea.
And, you know, with the World Cup coming up for rugby, I thought it'd be cool to have Cambro come on.
That would be
talk
awesome
to us about what's... And then thinking about Scotty Mack, because he just signed that record deal with that record company. So if
we got a book open, if we want to get some people on, we can. If not, we can just do what we're doing too. You know, maybe once a month we have someone on.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing a couple more. We seem to be getting the hang of it when it's just the two of us.
So let's
try to get a good swing going here, and then once we get that going, let's try to get, you know, then we'll try to master the guest. Yeah, and then once we got the seem to have the hang of that, then we'll start getting more people involved with the guest. But we might have to experiment a little bit offline with the guest thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Either way, I like where this is going. So
yeah, me too, brother. I appreciate it. Well, have a wonderful
thank
weekend.
You.
I hope everything goes well, and we'll talk soon, bud.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Take care.